come in here to give you nothing fancy. I didn't come in here to give you nothing that was going to blow your mind. I just want to brag on the Lord a little bit. Amen. And let's look unto Jesus this morning. Amen. I believe Paul is trying to make a point here. It's interesting to me the way this is set up, because he lists in Hebrews 11 all of these people and the great things that they did. But immediately when he gets to the next chapter, turns your focus back to Jesus. I want you to understand what I'm trying to say to set this up this morning. It does not matter how good any person in your life is, they are not Jesus. And they cannot take the place of Jesus in your life. I'll say it like this. As a pastor, there's a danger of you to look unto me and to put your focus on me to a point that it takes your focus off of Jesus. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying that if your faith is built on how great I am, it's going to eventually fail. Because I'm going to eventually fail. I'm never going to live up to a standard that's going to allow me to be the guiding light of your faith. That's not what I'm for. That's not what this is. That's not what we do here. I cannot be the lighthouse of your life. I can only be the mouthpiece that exposits Scripture so that you can bolster your faith by that manner. I can only be somebody who comes alongside you. I can never be the one that's out in front of you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Listen, you can look at me and my example, and I believe the Bible tells us clearly that a pastor is to live an example that his people can follow. And I understand that. But at the end of the day, you better be looking beyond me and unto Jesus if you're really going to have something in your life. You better learn how to keep your focus off of me and keep it out on Him. Are you understanding what I'm saying? Looking unto Jesus. Let's talk about it this morning. First of all, I want you to see this. We got to look unto Jesus because He is eternal. Look at what He says in verse number 2. The author and finisher of our faith. That is an amazing statement. Because here's what He's saying. He's saying that not only did Jesus design this before it happened, but He also finished it on the other end. Mm-hmm. What I'm trying to say is that Jesus didn't just show up 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. This plan was made before the foundation of the world. He existed before His mama did and before His daddy did. He existed before Abraham did and before Noah did and before Isaac did. And before, listen, He existed before Adam and Eve did. As a matter of fact, He was there in Genesis chapter number 1. He was the Word of God active in creation. Colossians 1, it says that all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. And He was there at the beginning, and He was there at the finish. The same Jesus, the same Lamb of God, that before the foundation of the world designed the plan of salvation, is the same Lamb of God that hung on a cross on Calvary and uttered the words, "It is finished." He's the Alpha and the Omega. He's the beginning and the end. He saw the beginning from the end and the end from the beginning. He saw everything in between, the good, bad, and the ugly. He made up, listen to me, church. Hey, perk up this morning. He made up His mind in eternity past that my worthless ruin of a life was worth His sacrifice. He looked at me from beyond the confines of time and saw everything I was going to be and everything I wasn't going to be. And He said, "He's worth it. He's worth the sacrifice." He looked at your life and He said, "You're worth it." I'm telling you, listen to me. He don't get caught up in the moment. His grace is not confined by the things that we are. The mountains don't tire Him out and the valleys don't make Him lazy. Are you listening to me this morning? There's nothing that can stop Him. There's nothing that can change Him. There's nothing that can undo Him. He is the focal point on which everything revolves. Looking unto Jesus because He's eternal. I tell you what you'll do. I tell you what you'll do, church. You may love me. You may think a lot of me. But there's a lot of people in this room that's going to live long enough to see them bring me up the aisle in a pine box and dig a hole somewhere and put me in it. There's a lot of people in this room that are going to live long enough to see me come and to see me go. But you'll never live long enough to see Jesus' funeral. Are you with me this morning? Say amen. You'll never live long enough to see the day where Jesus is no longer king. You'll never live long enough to see the day where Jesus is no longer God. You'll never live long enough to see the day where Jesus, I can no longer save sinners, where grace doesn't exist and mercy runs out. Are you listening to me? He is eternal. That's why we should focus on Him. Say, why should I look unto Jesus, preacher? Because He's eternal. He's eternal. Hey, listen, I'm going to be alive spiritually tomorrow because Jesus is going to be alive. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to be alive 10 million years from now because Jesus is going to be alive. He is eternal. Looking unto Jesus. He's the focal point in which everything revolves around. He is eternal. He is faithful. Look what your Bible says. The author and finisher. Can I say this about Jesus this morning? Just to brag on the Lord a little bit. I don't feel like y'all are getting as excited as I am about this morning. I'm just talking about Jesus. He's just the one that saved you from your sin. You ought to be in hell. You ought to spend 10,000 eternities in hell. Listen, your life ought to be in ruin. But God, hallelujah. But the grace of God through Jesus Christ has impacted your life. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher, He's faithful. There is nothing that He can't see through. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying Jesus always follows through. I like what He said to the disciples, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the earth. Hey, listen to me. There's nowhere you can go and outrun Him. There's nowhere you can go and get away. I like what David said. He said, if I make my bed in hell, Thou art there also. Now, listen, if I go as far away as I can go, You'll still be there and You'll still be good. If I get close, You'll still be there and You'll still be good. Hey, listen to me. He is faithful this morning. He is faithful in His grace. He is faithful in His mercy. He's faithful in His attendance. And He's faithful in His love. Look what the Bible says. Who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame. Let me try to break down that statement for you right here. Because He loves us so much, He allowed Himself to be put in a position that He did not want to be. Mm-hmm. Look what your Bible says. It says He endured the cross, despising the shame. I'm not an English scholar, but that means He didn't like it. But there was something, there was a joy that outweighed the suffering. Mm-hmm. What was that? For the joy that was set before Him. The joy was to pay the price for your sins. The thing that brought Him joy was to extend grace to you and me. He went through the hardest and the harshest trial that any human being has ever experienced, simply because He wanted you to spend eternity in heaven. That's why He did it. He did it because you could not. He did it because you came up short. So He went the distance. He's faithful. His word is good. He does what He says He does. He is who He says He is. He doesn't give up on us when things get rough. Let me tell you something about Jesus. He has never quit on you. He has never walked away. He's never run off. Even in your darkest moments, He stands firm. What a wonderful God we serve. Looking unto you. I just want to look unto Him this morning. He's eternal. He's faithful. Then I want you to see this. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy set before Him
he endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. He is eternal. He's faithful. I want you to see this about Jesus. He's finished. He's finished. What are you saying, preacher? I'm saying it's not like there's something else that's got to be done. I'm saying that there's no other work that needs to be done to purchase your pardon. Everything that needs doing, he's already done. Everything that needs, every work that needs to be completed, he has already completed. And you say, how do you know that he's done, preacher? How do you know that he's done everything that he came to do? Because at the end of verse 2, the Bible says something that don't get said a lot about Jesus. He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He has finished his work. And he has gone to, listen to me. He did what I'm trying to say is, he did what he came to do. The devil was against him. The government was against him. The religious leadership was against him. His own family and friends at times were against him. Even some of his disciples at various times and stages were against him. But it didn't stop him from getting the job done. He did everything he came to do. And when he got it done, he sat down. It's settled. The price has been paid. Salvation is secured. And there's nothing left to be done. Amen. We need no further deliverance. I know it's a little different this morning. Because I'm not in here trying to prove a point to you. What I'm trying to get across to you is that when you don't know what to do, when sin besets your life, when it seems as if everything is failing you, when your flesh is fighting you, and the forces of evil are closing in around you, and you start to feel like there's nothing you can do and nowhere you can go and no way to get out of this situation, I want you to remember this. Are you listening to me, church? I want you to remember that the battle might be hard, but the victory is already won. We do not have a God that is actively fighting against the powers of darkness on our behalf. We have a God who has defeated the power of darkness on our behalf. We do not have a God that is walking through a multitude of enemies trying to keep them off of us. Hey, are you listening? I'm feeling good now. We've got a God that's already taken down the enemy. We've got a God who's already taken down the forces of Satan. We do not live our life with Jesus out in front of us trying to keep the bad things off of us. But we live our life under the victorious power of the finished work of Christ. What I'm trying to say to you, Christian, is quit looking around at everything that's hindering you and look unto Jesus, the author and finisher. He is above all of that. Amen. The victory's already won. We live our life like, I hope Jesus gets me through this one. But I'm here to tell you this morning, he's already got through. There's no mountain he can't climb. There's no valley he can't pass. There's no enemy he hasn't already defeated. There's no force there's nothing that can come. The ultimate force, that which is against you more than anything, death to the grave, he's already defeated that. There's nothing that can take you out from under him. He said in John 10, they're in my hand, and no man can pluck them out of my hand. And my hand is in the Father's hand, and no man can pluck them out of his hand. They are safe and secure by my power, in my hand, in my protection. He has secured you a home in heaven, Christian, as surely as if you were already there. In a way, I would submit to you based on Scripture that in a way you are already there.
Because in John 14, he said, I go to prepare a place for you. And I don't know about you, but if there's a place with my name on it, I feel like I got a pretty good chance of getting in. Hallelujah. Whew. I'm trying to tell you, we spend so much of our life looking at everything but Him. I think about this morning, Peter. Jesus comes to him walking on the water. And thank God for the boldness of Peter. He steps out of the boat. What an amazing story. The only full human being in history that ever walked on water. And he gets out there. And the storms are rolling and the waves are moving. And the Bible says he began to look at that which was around him. He looked at the waves and he looked at the storm. And all of a sudden he began to sink. But when he cried out to Jesus, save me, everything started to go back in the right direction. See, I feel like there's a lot of us that are looking at the storm and the waves and the problems. And listen, I'm not trying to minimize your troubles this morning. I'm not trying to trivialize the hard things in your life. Mm-hmm. Storms are real. Floods are real. Listen to me. The waves are real. The hardness of life is real. It always has been. Job said it way back yonder. Man born unto woman is a few days and full of trouble. Man is born to trouble as the sparks fly upward. Listen to me now. I'm not trying to pretend that life is a bed of roses and that everything is easy. What I'm trying to tell you is up there's somebody up there standing on top of the storm. Up there's somebody up that's up over top of that which is drawing you in. And he's got his hand out and he's ready to save. Up there is one that's bigger than the mess and bigger than the trouble and bigger than the enemy and bigger than what you're up against. Looking unto Jesus. Look at verse number 3. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be wearied and faint in your mind. Listen to what he said. Consider him. Notice what he says. What did he do? He endured the contradiction of sinners against himself. So what is he saying there? He's saying that Jesus did not have to die for sin, for his own sins. So he died for our sins. He lived a life that earned him the right to not pay the price for sin. Yet he still paid the price for sin. Mm-hmm. Consider him. Consider him. You know what would be good, Christian? You know what would be real good? As you go out and live your life this week, y'all awake this morning and say amen.
Amen.
You know what would be real good for you? As you go out and face the battles that you're going to face. As you go out and listen, some of you, by the time you get out of the driveway of this church, you're already going to be having conversations about enemies that you are fighting, about battles that you are fighting. Before you can get out the door good, you're already going to be stepping back in to the reality of the things that you are facing in life. Let's be real this morning. You say, what can I do, preacher? I don't have any power. I don't have any ability. I don't have the answers. What can I do? Consider him. Consider him who endured this contradiction of sinners. Consider him that put himself in your place. Consider him that loved you so much that he gave of his own self, that he sacrificed his very body for you. Consider him that has sprinkled the blood on the mercy seat in heaven and bought your salvation. Consider him when your problems get heavy this morning. Consider him when the bills come due and you ain't got the money to pay it. Consider him this morning. Listen, when the hate comes your way and those who fight against you go to saying whatever they say, consider him this morning when there's no way out. Consider him. He's a way maker. I think about this a lot. After Jesus' resurrection, his disciples found themselves in a place of extreme fear. I'm quitting, but y'all hear me right here. You go look me up on this. They were hiding out. They were in a place where they had the door locked behind them because they were expecting at any moment some authority to show up and try to come get them. And the one who they believed could protect them was no longer with them. And Jesus decided to go to this meeting. I'm going somewhere. But when he got there, the door was locked and the place was secured. His disciples are inside the room, fearing for their lives. Jesus is on the outside, walled off away from them. He said, "What did he do, preacher?" He walked in the room. You say, "How did he do that?" Because he can do stuff we can't do. There is no locked door that can keep him out. There is no, listen, even in times when you have walled yourself off, he can still get to you. There's probably somebody that come in here this morning, and that's where you're at. You've done walled yourself off. You have so tried to design your life in a way that will protect you from hurt that you have blocked yourself off from help. But I'm here to tell you this morning, Jesus can walk through the wall. Mm-hmm. Jesus can walk on the water. Jesus can step through the storm. I don't know what you're facing this morning. I don't know what you come in here with. I really don't. I don't understand why. I'm trying to be obedient this morning. I don't know what you come in here toting, but here's what I'm going to tell you.